Yes, it's Pet Chat time. We haven't got Cheryl Shaw today, but we have got Dr. Fiona Giblin. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Thanks, what are Amanda. What are we gonna have a chat about today?
Oh, look, anything and everything. Super keen to answer all our callers' questions. If there's any veterinary or animal or behaviour questions that you've saved up since the last Pet Chat, give us a call. Love to have a chat with our callers.
And Scott from Belmont's given us a call. Scott, you've got a French bulldog that's 1 year old and it keeps licking its paws all the time.
Yeah, that's right. They bit kind of red and tender looking, inflamed.
Yeah, okay, Scott. So tell me more. Is your dog just doing it at the moment or is it year round? What would you say?
She's probably started in the last 6 months and it's kind of like every time she lays down and, you know, start before she has a bit of a rest, she licks her feet and makes a nuisance of herself. And
Okay, so it's been going on a little while. Would you say it's getting the same? It's the same, it's getting worse, it's getting better. What would you say?
We've tried to kind of cut out some processed foods and feed her some chicken mince and things like that, and given her a probiotic thinking that that might help, but it's kind of lessen the inflammation.
Okay.
But they're still kind of, especially the front ones, discoloured and angry looking.
Yeah, okay. And is it back feet as well or anywhere else on her body?
No, not so much, just the front paws.
Okay. Alrighty. So a couple of things spring to mind, Scott. Certainly her breed immediately puts me... I have a high suspicion of an underlying allergy. Okay. Frenchies are a little bit overrepresented in getting what we call atopy, which is just sort of basically think hay fever in people. Okay. So your grasses, your pollens, that sort of thing, really common. There are lots of really effective treatments for that, but it's probably not going to go away of its own accord. Okay. So I would certainly, have you had the feet checked by a vet at all?
No, we haven't.
Not yet? Okay. No. Yeah, look, she's quite possibly got a secondary infection as a result of all the licking and maybe as a result of the bacteria and yeast in her skin overgrowing a little bit. So I would definitely recommend a vet visit. I suspect there may be creams or shampoos or tablets involved and the vet may discuss some ongoing allergy type treatments that are really great at preventing that as an issue.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
No problem. Best of luck. Unfortunately, we are heading into allergy season, as anyone with hay fever would certainly be aware, and our pets are the same. We're seeing lots of allergies at the moment, and it may well be that, Scott's puppy's one of those.
Yeah, that's it. Good luck with that, Scott. All the best.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
This is Pet Chat. If you've got a question for Dr. Fiona, you can give us a call 49216 216. And Rodney from Birmingham Gardens has given us a call. Hi, Rodney. What's happening?
How are you?
Well, how are you, Rodney?
All right. Thanks, mate. All right. I've got a question about my Maltese cross Shih Tzu.
Yeah? Tell me more.
Okay. Now, his name's Flash. He's 11-year-old.
Yeah.
He's in good shape for 11. But anyway, we're going back to the licking. Now, not so much his paws, but he does not stop licking. He'll lick your hand. He'll lick your leg. He'll lick the pillow. He'll lick the floor. He'll lick the carpet. He'll lick everything.
He's a bit of a licker, hey?
I've got no... Like, if he's sitting next to you and he's not licking, and as soon as you put your hand on him, he starts licking.
Yep.
Right? And then cough. So he's getting a lot of fluff or cotton or whatever down there, you know?
And has he always been a licker, Rodney?
Not always, but it's gotten worse in the last couple of years.
Okay. Look, it's certainly the most likely scenario, I would say, Rodney, with him is that it's a behavioural thing that he's doing. It's like any sort of behaviour with a dog. If you want to increase it or decrease it, you have to train them appropriately. One of my dogs is a real licker, and if I let her, she would lick me all day, every day, and I'd end up with...
We don't discipline, but we're vigilant with her. You know, we tell her to stop, and we're on to it all the time.
Yep.
The poo, it's got fluff in it. I'd say 60% of fluff, the poo.
Okay. So licking furniture and things, is he?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
The doona cover, like when he's on the ground, you'll walk around, lick the doona cover, you'll lick the carpet.
Okay.
Yeah, everything.
So not just you, it's anything and everything.
No, it's everything, everything. Like, and then the cough starts.
Yeah, okay.
Because he's probably got fur balls, you know what I mean?
Okay, all right. Well, in that case, yeah, ignore what I just said. That's a different problem. It sounds more, in that case, more like it's still behavioural, but more obsessive compulsive type behaviour.
Yeah,
okay.
Very much so.
And if it's getting worse, Rodney, I would definitely recommend a vet visit because it might be that there's medication that we need to start if it's sort of affecting his health. Like if you say there's that much fluff in his poo and it's causing coughing and things.
Now, like if he might lick for, say, a couple of hours, right?
Yeah.
But because of all the licking, I think he's got a constant cough.
Okay.
Now, you know what I mean?
Possibly. So, could be other things, yeah. Obviously hard to know over the phone.
But he has got a vet visit in about a week and a half for his checkup.
He's got one in a week and a half, does he?
Yeah. Yeah,
excellent. Oh, excellent. Yeah, look, I think that's obviously part and parcel of any sort of condition is having a full medical exam. We can, you know, we can check his gums, we can see if there's a heart murmur, we can check his teeth, see if there's any other different causes of the coughing or causes of the licking. But definitely make sure your vet knows that there is a concern that you want to discuss with them because then they can make sure that they've got enough time.
Well, he does have a murmur. His heart doesn't slow down as much as other dogs do. His heart's always racing, even when he's been calm for an hour or two and laying with us, his heart still races.
So he has a murmur, does he, Rodney?
Yeah. Well, this is what this next visit's for.
Okay. Well, look, it sounds like you're in good hands. Make sure you mention the licking because if it is a bit of an obsessive compulsive thing and it's getting worse, Rodney, then it might be that we need to have a bit of a chat about whether medication is on the cards.
All right. You've been a great help. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Rodney. Have a good day. Best of luck.
You too, mate. Bye.
Allergies are a problem at the moment.
Yes. We are definitely seeing a lot of our annual allergy issues rearing their head in the last few weeks. I think anyone who suffers from hay fever can probably attest that there's been quite an increase in sort of allergens in the air in the last couple of weeks. And our pets, the ones that are allergic to things like grasses and pollens, are definitely going to be presenting with whatever signs they happen to have. So some of our allergy dogs present with runny red eyes. Some of our allergy dogs present with ear infections. Some of them present with constantly licking. Some of them have skin infections. Some of them have licking feet. Some of them have anal gland issues. So the way that, and I'm talking mostly about dogs because they tend to be the most problematic with allergies. Cats certainly get allergies, but over and above, we tend to see the dogs the most. Mm-hmm. So the way your dog presents can be quite individual. So people may think, oh, my dog's itching its skin, therefore it's allergies, but it can present as lots of other things as well. And certainly, unless we control the allergy, we're never going to control the ear infections or the eye issues or the feet issues. So it's really important to understand that with any allergy, you have to treat the underlying cause. Otherwise, the ear infection, for example, is going to constantly rear its head. And we're super lucky at the moment. We have lots of allergy preventative medications. So we've got tablets, we've got injections, and they're really effective, which means we're really lucky with all the different options we have. So I guess my comment to our listeners would be if you're noticing your dog's a bit itchy, like Scott's dog was earlier today, licking their paws, scratching their tummy, shaking their heads, anything that's a bit out of the ordinary that you've noticed in the last few weeks, more than likely we've got allergies playing a role. So have a chat to your vet if it's causing an issue and see what we can do to help.
Fantastic. This is Pet Chat on 2NURFM and we have Audrey from Newcastle on the line. Audrey, you want to know if there's any ideas for sun protection, sunscreen for a white dog that loves sunbaking?
Correct.
Tell me more, Audrey. What breed?
The breed is a Maltese Shih Tzu.
Ah, yes.
She's generally shaved all the time, though, so she's got a lot of exposure to the sun.
Okay. And she's a bit of a sunbaker.
a bit, yeah. She'll find any sunny spot in the house possible, and she will make sure she stays there.
She's lying in it. Okay. Is she young or old, Audrey?
Audrey's about 16.
Oh, she's an old girl.
Yeah.
Oh, bless her. And does she tend to lie on her back so that her tummy's exposed, or does she? How does she sort of tend to lie in the sun? Could you comment?
Yeah, generally she's usually lying on her back, but a lot of the time she has her head in the sun. That's her big, that's what she wants. She wants to have her head in the sun, and her nose gets burnt quite easy.
Okay, okay. Does she have a white nose or a black nose?
All white everywhere.
Okay. Yes, all right. Well, look, you've highlighted certainly an issue that we have here in Australia, Audrey, with skin cancer and dogs and sun exposure in general. They're the same as us. They can get burnt just like us, and they can get skin cancer just like us.
Yeah.
The pinkish areas, so the non-pigmented areas, are our problem spots, definitely. Nose, eyelids, ears, and tummies tend to be the big areas of issue. Now, I guess to answer your question, I've certainly got a couple of suggestions for you. The main trick, though, is we don't want them to lick it off. So what we use has to be safe for dogs. There are a number of zinc creams. So zinc cream itself, the bog standard white zinc cream, is quite effective, and fairly safe for them. Can be good, particularly around the face, for your nose, I think, definitely, and ears if she's quite short in the hair. So they're good for face areas. For the body, if you can picture like a toddler sort of all-in-one rashy with the arms and legs, you can't, I kid you not, you can get rashies for dogs. Okay.
Yeah. I can look into it.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you may. I mean, if you're a whiz on a sewing machine, you might be able to whip something up for it yourself, Audrey. But you're really working on the same principles as sun protection for us. So you're working on your zinc creams. I wouldn't use any human sun cream on her. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I've been told, and then I googled it, and it doesn't seem like a good idea.
Yeah, definitely. So we want to be using your pet product. Places like your big. Either your vets or your big pet shops would expect them all to stock pet safe sun cream, Audrey. So that would be some way to start if you don't have some already. And then depending on how committed she is to sunbaking, maybe have a think about a rashy or a pair of swimming trunks or something for her. I'll leave that one up to you.
Thank you very much, Fiona.
No problem. Take care.
You too.
Thanks, Audrey. Can you buy little hats for dogs?
Yes, you can.
Sun hats?
You can. I suspect they're more probably fashion items than functional items. They would look pretty cute, but I think using sun cream would probably be more effective.
So can the top of their noses, because I don't have a dog, but I thought they were like black.
Yes, you got the nail on the head. Most breeds do have black noses, so that's less of an issue.
Oh, okay. So the black noses don't get sunburnt?
They don't tend to get sunburnt, whereas you can get non-pigmented skin. So that pinkish skin, eyelids are a problem, ears are a problem, and your nose is a problem.
Hmm.
There's sun cream, protecting with zinc cream for those dogs that love sunbaking is often quite essential in the summertime. But if you've got a black nose, it's certainly less of an issue.
And what about cats?
Same thing.
My cat lays in the sun all the time, but is the fur, if it's a particularly furry cat, will that protect
furred areas? Yes, it generally will. So cats we often see with skin cancer on their ears, but it's 99.99% of the time white cats.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So their fur on their ears is really sparse and really short. And at the very tips of the ears, the edges of the ears, that's often where we see skin cancers coming up in white cats, and also around the nose for all the same reasons.
Mm-hmm. And can people actually see the skin cancers coming up?
Yeah, good question. It will appear as a non-healing scab or a non-healing wound, and they often start as, little pinpoint black marks on the skin. And if you've got a white cat or a non-pigmented dog or cat fur, and you see a scab that sort of falls off, and then it doesn't heal, it just scabs again, and then it falls off. And after a couple of months, you're like, oh, I think that scab's a bit bigger than it was. that's makes us highly suspicious of a skin cancer in those sorts of areas.
Oh, that's great. Well, you learn something new every day, don't you? Alison from Adamstown on the phone. Alison, you've got a cat that's extremely fluffy and it requires being groomed all the time.
Yes, I do. Hello, thank you.
How are you, Alison? Dr. Fiona here. How can I help?
I have a seven-year-old cat that we've had since he was a kitten.
Yes.
And over the years, he's gotten extremely fluffy and fluffy and fluffy, and he's about 9.5 kilos.
Oh, big boy.
He is a big ginger boy. He's absolutely beautiful to look at, but he causes me so much grief. So he's good at home. He's a little standoffish, but when it's time to go to the vet, he becomes extremely aggressive and hisses. And but that grooming around, you know, like the hygiene area and everything is, I'm starting to worry because he does get sedated.
Okay.
Would that anaesthetic and the sedation have a long-term effect on him at all?
Good question, Alison. I'm going to throw back a couple of questions at you as well. So how often is he having it done?
Usually he has it done at the beginning of summer,
mm-hmm.
And in the winter time. So around about roughly July to November, I can try and stretch it out, you know, so twice a year.
Twice a year? Okay.
Yeah.
And when he goes under, is it, do you, this may be a question you don't know the answer to, but do you know, do they sedate him or do they give him a general anaesthetic?
Usually, I think it's a general.
Okay.
Because, and the last vet that I took him to, he's had a couple of clips there.
Okay.
And the last time I dropped him off, I got a phone call 20 minutes later and said, you have to come pick him up because he's too naughty today.
Oh, bless his socks. So he was stressed out.
He was very stressed out. So I did give him some gabapentin.
Excellent.
And I wasn't sure, you know, and then I took him to another vet.
Mm-hmm.
They said they have a different method. It's like a little gas, like a little box or something that they put him in.
Okay.
But when I brought him home that afternoon, he was drooling, like foaming at the mouth, and it really seemed to have taken its toll.
Oh, bless his socks. He obviously gets pretty stressed out with it.
Yeah,
my cat's like that too.
Yeah.
We have to give her a tablet before she goes to the vet, an hour before, because otherwise she just freaks out. But then it's like she's just all like, drowsy all day.
Yeah. I guess to answer your question, Alison, repeated mm-hmm. general anaesthetics or repeated sedations for that matter are often necessary for lots of different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
The anaesthetic themselves, I guess I'll, for argument's sake, we'll discuss anaesthetics, okay, just so I'm not switching between the two. So we often have to anaesthetise animals, you know, a couple of times a year sometimes, depending on their procedure. Obviously our grooms sometimes we need to do that for. Does the anaesthetic itself have side effects? Not to the point that I would recommend not doing it. Okay, so we have to assess the situation on its merits, and if your cat needs a groom because he's uncomfortable or he's hot or he's got lots of mats everywhere, then the benefits of the anaesthetic to groom far outweigh not doing the anaesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing to, I guess, consider, that, you know, what's our end goal here? Our end goal is a comfortable cat. So how do we get there? The other thing that I would comment on that can make it as safe as possible, if he hasn't had any blood tests recently, checking the functioning of his kidneys with a blood test is really important to make sure that if we do have kidney compromise, we can adjust medications as appropriate. We can make sure his blood pressure is appropriate. We can give him intravenous fluids to support his kidney function as much as we can. So regular blood tests, at least annually, if he's having procedures mm-hmm. twice a year, I definitely recommend. And then doing what you're doing with the gabapentin, I would highly recommend. Okay. So your gabapentin, whilst it causes sedation, again, we have to think about it from the pet's perspective. If he's mm-hmm. a little bit sedated, well, arguably that's significantly better than highly anxious and stressed and therefore aggressive.
Yeah.
So it makes it less stressful for him and obviously makes us much able to do our job effectively and as safely and as quickly as possible for him.
Mm-hmm.
These long-haired cats are tricky. Does he let you groom him much, Alison?
Yes, he lets me and he lets my girls and it's not a case of he doesn't get matted because we are constantly brushing him and he loves it, and but he also lets us know, okay, he's that's enough for today,
yes,
thank
yes.
you. But it's just mostly around the hygiene area where sometimes he might get a little bit of poo stuck in and then he gets extremely uncomfortable and runs around the house and then it's all over the carpet and it's like, oh my goodness.
Bless him. Yeah.
So, yeah.
But okay,
other
well,
than that, he's fine. Sometimes he does get a little bit aggressive out of the blue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, a curveball question for you, Alison. If you gave him gabapentin at home and you tried to get a pair of pet clippers, do you reckon you could do some grooming at home?
Well, I have actually thought I might try that. I've only just started giving him the gabapentin, and it wasn't too bad. I gave him some in the night time before he's groomed.
Yes.
And then I gave him some. I got up at 2 a.m.
Oh,
and put some in his food and got him prepared for the vet, and he was fine.
Yeah.
Because
you may find that gives him adequate sedation. If he's normally pretty good about it, that may give him adequate sedation to allow you to do, you know, I mean,
yes.
I'm assuming you're not a pet hairdresser, but it might be a functional clip, and that
I'm fine with tablets, so it's a nurse, so yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, that might be something to have a think about that maybe would be worth a try, because that way, I guess, we'd definitely minimise his anxiety and his stress. And if it's something that you can manage at home, obviously without anyone getting bitten or injured, then maybe something to think about.
Yes. Thank you.
No problem.
Thanks, Alison.
Right, thank you so much.
Thanks for the call, Alison.
Rob from Metford's on the line. Rob, you've got a 10-year-old Shih Tzu. It's all about Shih Tzus today. being humped, I guess, by a new puppy. Will this behaviour change with de-sexing?
Yeah.
Hi, Rob. How old's the puppy?
About 4 months, I think.
Okay. Large breed, small breed?
Another Shih Tzu.
Okay. All right. And the older one's just copying it a bit from the puppy, is it?
Yeah, she can't walk around without him wanting to jump all over her, and she's over it, I think.
Yes. Look, I can't blame her, to be honest, Rob. In answer to your question, yes, the behaviour should stop with de-sexing, okay? I mean, there's a number of reasons that humping can occur, but certainly the age that you mention is more than likely that, you know, those hormones still coming in, and you know, the puppy doesn't really know what to do with himself. So yes, if your plan is to de-sex the puppy, then by all means, I think that's a sensible, definitely a sensible course of action. The testosterone will remain in his system for a number of weeks. Okay.
Yep.
The other thing, I guess, is if you are wanting to delay de-sexing a little bit, you've just got to, I guess, supervise the dogs together, give her some time without the puppy. Okay.
Yeah, we try.
Yeah. Is he sort of quite insistent all the time wanting to do it?
No, but he's just rough with his play with her as well.
Okay. And she's not keen on it?
No, she wants to play, but not like he does.
Yeah, okay. Certainly sounds like making sure they've got some alone time is really important. You know, obviously puppies' energy levels compared to starting to get senior Shih Tzus are very different. Is it your plan to de-sex the puppy?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, look, I'd be supportive of booking that in whenever works for you, Rob. And in the meantime, just making sure that your older one does get time away from the puppy, just so that it doesn't end up escalating and becomes a bit of a fight when she gets totally jack of it.
Yep. The older one's going to be due for an inner ear ablation soon, I think.
Okay.
Do you know what sort of costs are involved in something like that?
An ear canal ablation?
Yeah.
Have you been recommended it by your vet, have you?
Yeah, it's going to have to happen soon, I think. She's just got a build-up of stuff in her inner ear, and that's not helping matters either.
Oh, poor thing. Look, it is that procedure itself, I think, is quite a, if not a specialist procedure, then definitely one that not all GP vets are comfortable with. Is it something that your vets said that they will do, or will they refer her off?
They have already, and I think we've got a price of around $10,000.
Yeah, look, it's not cheap, Rob. It is a very, very tricky surgery with a lot of, as you can imagine, you know, around your ear and neck, a lot of important nerves and blood vessels and things that you don't want to be mucking around if you don't know what you're doing. I guess my other comment would be chronic ear infections can be so painful for them. And it can be really, really challenging to manage. So if you're at the point, Rob, that you've been recommended that procedure, then unfortunately...
She's had a couple of ear flushes in the last year and a half or so.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Look, cost off the top of my head, no, I don't have. Sorry, Rob. But if you've been given a costing, then I'd just go with that one.
Thank God for pet insurance, eh?
Absolutely. This is why we thank our lucky stars. Good on you, Rob. I'm glad to hear she's covered.
All the best, Rob. Have a good day. Okay, we've got about a minute left. We're going to give the pet voucher to Rodney from Birmingham Gardens. Congratulations, Rodney. And we'll have a quick look at our pet of the week. It's Mac.
Mac is adorable. Probably not everyone's idea of adorable, but for me, he's just so... Oh, scrumptious. He's gorgeous. He's a big buff head bull Arab, 40-ish kilos, just looks like a total sweetheart. 2-year-old, so still quite young, lots of life left, basically big buff head. looks like he's got good manners, sit and stay and shake and lay down, working with his training. It sounds like he would love a family that's, I guess, not full of full-time workers. He doesn't want to be in the backyard all day. He'd like to be with his family.
He's got a big personality.
Yeah, obviously being a big dog would need a good fence and, you know, continue working with training because he is big. But he looks like, you know, if you're after a big buff head, He's your one.
Man.
He's gorgeous.
All right. Well, we are out of time, Dr. Fiona. We will see you next time for Pet Chat.
Thanks for having me.
On 2NURFN. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.